And I'm watching our time here so that we make sure we hit our 11 o'clock on the dot. But I do want to welcome you guys here this morning. It is good to be back in the house of the Lord. It's good to be back with people, not just a camera. And Preston and I have been doing that for a while. And we've enjoyed being me and him, but we enjoy it when everybody else is here as well. And as you know, guys, we are having our Remembrance Day service today. And so we'll go through our ceremony, then get into our message here in just a little while. And so we are thankful to be here this morning. We're thankful for what the Lord has done. And we're excited about what he's going to do. So I'm going to go ahead and open us in prayer here this morning. And then we'll get started with the rest of the service. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the blessing of this day. We thank you for this opportunity and time to be together. Lord, what we're going to recognize today, Remembrance Day on this 11th of November, the 11th month, Father, we pray that in this 11th hour that you would bless this opportunity. Lord, I pray for the families that have lost loved ones in the fight, in the battle for the protection of our freedom. Lord, we specifically want to look back into the Great War and the two world wars, Lord, and we pray for those families as well. And we thank you, Lord, for sending women to protect the liberties that we enjoy on a day-to-day basis. But not only that, Lord, we pray for everyone that's on the front lines. Father, in the battlefield, we ask that your hedge will be set around them. And we thank you again for this opportunity to gather one with another. And Lord, as the bells are played here shortly, as the poems are read, as the prayers go up, and as the 2 minutes of silence is given, I do pray today that we would continue to remember what you have done on the cross of Calvary, and that we would honor that in our lives every single day. Lord, we love you, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. With that said, this morning, we will go to the playing of the muffled bells. They shall not grow old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. Beloved, this is the day that we honor those who not only have given their lives so that we may enjoy freedom every day, the blessing of life. Life is to be cherished. All lives should be cherished. And from conception to the grave, life is important. And the freedoms and the liberties that each and every one of us enjoy on a day-to-day basis did not come free. You've heard the saying, freedom is never free. It comes with a price. Both the freedom of eternal life and the freedom of our daily lives in the countries that we live in came with the cost of the lives of men and women. Not only those that have paid that ultimate price in losing their life, but those who are left behind even. Family members, children, parents, spouses, neighbors, co-workers, who have lost a loved one in the defense and the protection of freedom. This is the day, and not only this day, but every day of the year, we need to remember those who have fought for our freedom. The age-old words must reverberate in our hearts and our minds. When you go home, tell them of us and say for your tomorrow, we gave our today. Right at 11 o'clock it is now, we will remember with a 2 minutes silence. Thank you so much, guys, for observing reverent silence for those 2 minutes. It is a blessing and an honor to be able to be here today. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles to 2 Corinthians this morning. 2 Corinthians is where we will be. We had no reading of the Scriptures as we typically will on a Sunday morning. So as you turn to 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, I'll ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, and once you arrive there, simply stand if you're willing and able to today. We'll only read the first 2 verses. 2 Corinthians in chapter 8, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How then a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounding unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they are willing of themselves." Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of Thy Word. Bless Your people this day as we come to service and honor You. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated if you will. I do again want to thank everyone for being here today. And again, as always, I hope and pray the Lord will be a blessing to your heart. And in saying that, guys, I want to speak to you this morning on a topic and a great example that is given by the churches of Macedonia who were first willing to give of themselves. They were willing of themselves, if you will. Now, this chapter in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, and along with the 9th and 10th chapters, were where the Apostle Paul began to delineate the act of giving for and to the church. He uses the churches of Macedonia as a beautiful example of the grace of God bestowed upon them by God. These churches are Berea, Thessalonica, and, as you know, Philippi, the one that gave above and beyond all other works. The magnificent work that we find which occurred in these areas have laid a great blessing even to us today. And guys, it was these churches who financially supported the Apostle Paul in his endeavor of obedience to fulfill the Great Commission of the Lord Jesus Christ. We think about giving, and so often when we hear that phrase, give, we want to think about finances. We think of giving of our finances. But we're going to look at this today and understand that giving is much, 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 much more than that. It is a character. It is a heart. It is obedience. But guys, there's much more to give than that of your pocketbook. In 1995, the nation was stunned when the news broke of an elderly woman whose name Osceola McCarty. She had donated $150,000, which is roughly about 110 pounds, at least today. Maybe next week it'll be about 40 pounds, who knows. But about $150,000 to the University of Southern Mississippi. She donated this money as a scholarship fund. This 87-year-old woman had been forced to drop out of school in the 6th grade and to care for her family. And for more than 60 years, she made a living by washing clothes for hire in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, saving as much as she could from her meager pay. She wanted others to have the opportunity to have the education that she never received. And so all of those years of squirreling that money away, she gave it so that someone else may benefit. Our society values how much a person has, and yet God values how much a person gives. Guys, we know the churches of Macedonia gave of their possessions. We understand that. That's not why we are here today. We understand that in 1 Corinthians 16:2, upon the first day of the week, let everyone give as God has prospered them. We know that. We see that in verse 2 of our text right now in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And this is a principle that is taught from cover to cover in the Scripture. It's not only a law-only doctrine, as some people have taught it, and it's definitely not even solely an age of grace or the church age doctrine. But the doctrine given to mankind, we find, is given from the beginning to the end of that which we should give. These churches gave much more than their possessions. First thing that we see, guys, they sacrificially gave of their power. In verse 2, it says, "How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality." This speaks of their ability, my friend. We enjoy the freedoms every single day. And we hope that this freedom that we have and that we enjoy, that we participate in. Guys, I believe this precious freedom, the liberties that we are experiencing right today at this moment, has probably been tested throughout this entire year. And I'm going to say mildly tested. I mean, let's face it. Restrictions they're easy. But we're not facing great trials of affliction just because you got to wear a mask. We're not facing a great trial of affliction just because you can't go where you want to go. And I mean, even for that matter, you're not facing a great trial of affliction because you can't buy toilet paper or a kettle. I don't necessarily agree with all of those things, but whether I agree or not is beside the point. Guys, I believe that liberty has been tested throughout the restrictions in quarantine and lockdown. And it's easy for us to take for granted the liberties that we have on a regular basis. Such freedom did not come without a price. Men and women protected this God-given liberty on the battlefields across the globe. They gave of their power. Millions upon millions upon millions of men and women have died to allow us today to meet together to do exactly what we're doing now. And I believe when we forsake what we're doing now, we're taking for granted the God-given liberty, the protecting by those people's power that they've given us. The church life, the Christian life is no different. Charles Spurgeon said, without the Spirit of God, we can do nothing. We are ships without sails, our ships without wind, branches without sap, and like coals without fire. He says, we are useless, and that's without the Spirit of God. My friend, they gave of their power. Luke in chapter 12, verse 48 says, but he that knew not and did commit such things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with you. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall be much required. To whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And I want you to allow that verse to sink deep into your soul this morning. As we reflect and we begin to think of the power that was given, the ability that was given by the armed forces throughout the world to allow us to have the liberties and freedom in this country. I don't know if you've ever pondered on it or thought about it. What if we would have lost the war? What if we would have lost the Great War? What if we'd have lost the Second World War? What if we would have lost those things and evil would have taken over the liberties that we enjoy today? We would have become subjects, if you will, to another power. But because men and women gave their power, because they gave that power, because they took of their ability and chose to protect the freedoms that we enjoy, today we must remember them. And it is no different with the church today. You may be sitting here today and you think, well, what in the world can I give? What kind of power do I have? Can I tell you, you got a power that's been given from on high? You have a power today given by the Holy Spirit of God on the moment, the day, the hour, the second, the millisecond that you were saved. You receive all of the Holy Spirit of God that you ever need to have the power to give to God's church. Acts chapter 1 delineates this power, and there's two types of power that we find. Acts chapter 1 in verse 7 and 8, the Bible says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times of the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, okay? But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the world, of the earth. Now I'm saying all that. There's the two different powers are listed in those two verses. Verse 7, we find this same power in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. This is an all power. That's what we find in verse 7 of Acts chapter 1. The one who has all power, which comes from the Greek word ousousia, which is an almighty God power. You don't have that. I don't have that. But the one who gives us power has that. Amen. Luke chapter 24, if you have time, you can flip there real quickly. I'll get there myself real quick. But in Luke in chapter 24, what we find here, in Luke 24, down in verse 45, we find the Lord's final words unto his apostles. It cross-references over to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And the Bible says in verse 45, it says, then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures. and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in the name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. This is the promise that was given in Acts chapter 1 as well. So the one who has all power, that is skousia, is the very Lord that promised to give us power, which comes from the Greek word dunamis, which means the ability to fulfill His will. Dunamis is the same word we get dynamite from. That is the power that God has given us as His children. That's the power that God has given every saved, born-again individual in this world today. And He hasn't given us that power to hold it within. To whom much is given, much will be required. He has given us that power, my friend, that we may go forth into this world. Take that ability and give it to others. The power is given to us not to hold on, but to give. So not only is there a power for us to give, but I want to speak to you about another thing that we are to give. And that is our prayer. That is our prayer. Look back in our text in 2 Corinthians 8, and we'll notice here in verse 4. In verse 4, the Bible says, pray in us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Again, pray in us with much entreaty that we receive the gift. May I say this to you this morning? That prayer is probably the least exercised action of the Christian in today's world. Prayer is labor. Prayer is dedication. Prayer takes commitment. I would have to say probably my greatest failure is going to be prayer. And I believe every Christian in the world today probably fails. I'm saying probably. Probably fails in their commitment, their dedication to prayer. E.M. Bounds said that what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use, men of prayer, men mighty in prayer, he says. Guys, it's something that we all can do. We can give of our prayer. We can give of our power. It's part of what Paul taught his churches, and by proxy teaches us today in the action of prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, you can read these verses from the screen, but Paul says, now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them unto you, remembering in all things. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30 says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, for the love of the Spirit, that ye strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Acts chapter 12 and verse 12, we find that, and when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. You guys remember that story? That's a comical story sometimes, but you can remember that one. Ephesians chapter 6, Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication, watch this, for all saints. Don't we have a tendency to kind of lock into that rut and pray for a handful of people, maybe our closest people or the ones that's further away? But Paul tells us here that we should be praying for all saints, praying through perseverance and supplication with all saints or for all saints. Colossians in chapter 4, looking in verse 3, withal praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, which I am also in bonds. When you look out throughout the life of Paul and you see how he reacts and acts to certain things, especially the first mission journey that Paul and Barnabas were on, and planting churches and people getting saved, and he was stoned to death in Lystra and dragged out for dead, and all of these different things that happened in Paul's life. And then by the time the second missionary journey comes around, Paul wasn't as physically active as he was before, but he did some great writing and he did some great praying. But his third mission journey was not as he planned, for it was a journey unto the prison house. And he spent 2 years in Caesarea, took a boat ride to Rome, and spent the rest of his life there until he was beheaded on the road to Ostia in AD 68 under the ruler of Nero. I'm saying all that to say this. There comes a time when God says, I need you to get alone. I need you to get quiet. I need you to get in your own little prayer closet and spend some time with me. Jude tells us in verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves into a most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. We have access to the heavenlies. Guys, we have access to the one who has all power, who has given us power. Not His all power, but He's given us power and ability today. And we have access through prayer to come and meet with Him whenever we would like. Guys, they were willing of themselves. These churches of Macedonia were willing of themselves. These soldiers and sailors and those who went across the seas to protect our freedom were willing of themselves to sacrifice so that you and I may enjoy the freedom that we're enjoying today. They were willing to give of their power. They were willing to give of their prayer. And lastly, beloved, they were willing to give of their person. Look in verse 5, if you will, in our text this morning in 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. The Bible says, and this did they, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. My friend, they were willing to give of themselves. So often, many a times, we equate this to finances. And yes, finances is part of giving. But guys, if you don't give to your local church, the church will not remain. That's just it. But it is so much more. They were willing to give their lives for the furtherance of the gospel. Of the same churches we find Paul stating in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, ye know the house of Stephanus, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. I have a separate sermon altogether about addicting yourself to the ministry of the saints. You stop and you think about that for just a second. There are certain people that Paul was speaking of that they've addicted themselves solely to help the saints of God. Paul uses the testimony of these churches in Macedonia to teach the local cult on assemblies of believers to follow how to give. But it goes so much beyond the offering plate or the offering bag. This is giving of one's life. Taking what the Lord has given you. Life is what He has given us. Every single breath, every single heartbeat, every single moment that we have on this earth today is a gift from on high. We are to give it back unto Him in the manner of which is pleasing to Him and that is key of seeking to save that which is lost, which was Christ's central purpose to come into this earth. I'm reminded of a story of a young man during the Second World War, a young soldier named David Webster. He was of Easy Company in the 101st Airborne, wrote to his mother and says, stop worrying about me. I joined the parachutists to fight. I intend to fight if necessary. I shall die fighting, but don't worry about this, because no war can be won without young men dying. And those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice. The bottom part of that letter, when he says, those things which are precious are saved only by sacrifice. Life from conception, and I am emphasizing conception, about 9 months later. Life from conception to the grave is precious. It is so precious that God Himself, the Son of God, took off the robes of eternal glory and wrapped upon Himself the robes of a temporary man and lived a perfect 33 and a half years on this earth for one reason, to die on the cross of Calvary, that He may raise again and have victory over death and sin. The Great Commission is a mission, and it's even more so than that. The Great Commission is a battle, a spiritual warfare in nature with an eternal consequence.
It will take the local church. And the local church are the individuals who make up the local called out assembly of believers in Jesus Christ. It is going to take the local church taken upon the pattern set by the Macedonian churches and be willing to give themselves in power, prayer, and person to see this through. Paul says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is, listen, your reasonable service. To give our life to Jesus Christ is the bare minimum that we can do. We need to remember those who have sacrificed their life just to give us the freedom that we are enjoying right now. Because they were willing of themselves. They were willing to give up their time. They were willing to give up their lives so liberty and freedom could be protected. It's provided by God, but protected by men and women of our forces. Things that we take for granted every day. The freedom to walk about daily, to attend church free from persecution, was provided by God, protected by man. So I'm saying all that to say this morning, and we'll be done. We have a choice, Sarah and Chapel Independent Baptist Church. We can either be the church that is in the final church age of which we are in, the Laodicean church. Laodicean church age, the word Laodicea means rights of the people. Never has there been a time in human history people's rights, and I'm putting that in quotes, have taken precedence over what is right. Or we can be a church in Macedonia. I understand the church age is the Laodicean church age. I understand that, but I'm fully convinced in my heart and my mind this morning that becoming a Laodicean church, the church that falls away into apostasy, the church that teaches a false doctrine, the church that does not adhere to what Paul is writing about, giving of himself both in power, prayer, and in person, that is a choice that local church makes. So we can either be a church that says, well, it's my right to do whatever I want and forsake and forget those that sacrificed before us. Or we can be a church that Paul mentions. The church like at Philippi or Thessalonica or Berea. Remember, the Bereans were more noble than those at even Thessalonica. That they went home and searched the Scriptures daily. So, beloved, our choice today is to remember those who gave their lives. I don't know about you, but I like living in a free country. I like living in a land today that I have the freedom of speech. And I like living in a land today that I have the freedom to come and worship Jesus Christ the way the Bible has dictated me to do so. There are millions of souls across this world today that do not have the liberty that you and I have. There are souls today that meet in park benches. One person here, one person there. And they'll sit there silently worshiping God. Because that's the only way they can do it without being thrown in jail. We don't live in that nation, at least not yet. So let us remember those that died for that freedom. Let us remember those who sacrificed so that we may enjoy the days that God has given us in this earth. But guys, in doing so, let us honor them. And the way that we honor them is the same way that we're going to honor the Lord. And that is to give of our power, the ability God has given you, to give of our prayers, and to give of our person. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, this time today. And I pray that we would never forget those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we may live and that we may enjoy the precious gift of time and of life. Lord, I pray that you would allow us to take this message to heart and allow it to reverberate through our souls for the rest of this day. Let us remember, dear God, what you have given us and what you have done for us. Lord, I do love you and I do thank you for all that you've done. I thank you for who and what you are. And again, I personally want to thank you for the precious opportunity to stand in this pulpit this very day, in this very hour, dear Lord. I pray that you use it to bless your people, that we here may become a shining light to those in the darkest moments of their days, that we may be a shining light for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ throughout our village, throughout our valley, Lord, that we may see people come to the saving knowledge of our Savior, be eternally sealed at the day of redemption. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Guys, I thank you so much for being here today. Again, I hope and pray that God has been a blessing to your heart and your mind. And this will draw to a close our Remembrance Day service. I pray that it was a blessing for you. It's a treat for me to be off the Bible study floor, if you will, and be up in the pulpit preaching this morning. A blessed honor. And it's more of even a treat. I don't know about you, but I've missed being together. I've missed being in the same building with people. And this to me is really and truly a blessing and an honor. And I do not take it lightly, and I pray that you don't either. So thank you for being with us this morning. Now, I just want a couple reminders, guys, of announcements. We have our evening Bible study and prayer meeting tonight at 6 p.m. It will be here in the sanctuary. Tonight I will be picking up on our witnessing lessons that will be taken. We have some handouts that I'll be handing out tonight. And so I think Daniel was copying those for me. And so we'll be going over witnessing this evening. We're looking forward to that. And so let's be back in our place tonight at 6 p.m. And for you ladies, tomorrow at 10:30, up in my office, I won't be here, but up in my office with Denise, you guys have your ladies' devotion. So you guys have a wonderful time for that. And then let's look forward to Sunday at 11 a.m., being back here together one with another for our Sunday service here at Sarah. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, thank you so much, guys. I'm going to turn it over and ask Brother Preston to dismiss us in prayer. And we'll see you back here tonight at 6 p.m. Lord bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. Amen. Thank you so much, guys. See you back tonight at 6.